Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guest. And tonight our guest is Dr. David Kennedy. He's a retired dentist, practiced for many years. And I think, as with myself, we accepted what we learned when we were in professional schools, Dr. Kennedy in dental school, I in medical school. It sometimes takes a long time to unlearn what you've been indoctrinated to believe. And one of those things that, of course, I think is so difficult for any dentist to believe is that the mercury fillings that he puts in your mouth are damaging to your health, and that this has been known for 100 years or more. And yet, of course, because of, well, for whatever reason, the motivation might have been originally, when they started using the mercury fillings, initially it was felt to be dental malpractice, and now it's accepted to be quite normal. And the problem is that the dentists who speak out against this and try to warn you what the scientific studies show are marginalized and demonized. And yet what we're seeing is an increasing incidence of Alzheimer's disease in our society. We're seeing all sorts of the complications of mercury toxicity. Well, Dr. Kennedy has been investigating this for some time, and through his efforts and the efforts of other people, other dentists who are trying to get the truth out, why we have some excellent material. We have an excellent new DVD Dr. Kennedy's put out specifically on mercury. I think you'll find it fascinating, and you'll even get to see the smoking tooth. But I'm going to let Dr. Kennedy tell you all about this subject. Hi, David. How are you tonight?
Good evening, Sam. I'm very well, thank you.
You get back safe and sound from Cabo San Lucas?
Yes, we did. We had a great flight. Even had a tailwind, which is really unusual going north.
All right, fine. Well, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about how you came to realize how toxic the mercury was, how the scientific studies have shown that it goes right into the brain of animals when they fill their teeth, and we can assume it does exactly the same thing with human beings, and the devastation caused by this, and the skyrocketing rates of Alzheimer's disease. And the government says, "Oh, shucks, we don't know why it is, but we can assure you it isn't mercury."
Yeah, that's a likely story, but if you have Alzheimer's disease, you're genetically predisposed to the disease, you have the inability to excrete mercury from your brain, and you have 4 times more mercury in your brain than the person that doesn't have Alzheimer's disease. Does that prove? No, that doesn't prove. It certainly means that if you found a gun lying in somebody's hand and a bullet in somebody else, you'd have to say, well, there's certainly some evidence, and that's really where we are with Alzheimer's. There's a lot of evidence that mercury is the principal culprit. And it's, you know, Alzheimer's not the only disease that's caused by mercury. Actually, the first one is called mercury poisoning. And that if you look at dentists, and this is where my lecture started back in the 80s, was I was talking about dental personnel, and that the whole condition of mercury poisoning is infertility, birth defects, brain damage, the memory loss, all those neurological diseases, including hand tremor. And that occurs at a great rate in dental personnel.
And, of course, I've heard, tell me if this is true, that among all professionals, the highest incidence of suicide is in dentists. Is there any truth to that?
Yes, and we sometimes beat out the psychiatrists and psychologists for suicide, but depression is also one of the symptoms of mercury exposure.
We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest, David Kennedy. You know, certainly is infertility a problem, especially with dental technicians, other people who are working with the dentist, and certainly when they're putting in the mercury fillings in?
Yes, and not only the dental personnel, but also women especially that have multiple fillings in their teeth have been linked to infertility. That was Gerhard in Germany. In dental personnel, the best study I've seen so far, and that they understand that the government doesn't fund a lot of these studies, but Roland did a case control study here in California where they counted the everything. They took into account alcohol consumption, cigarette smoking, age, frequency of intercourse, etc., 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 ad infinitum, and they showed that if the woman worked in a dental office that used amalgam versus a woman that worked in a dental office that didn't use amalgam, there was a 40% decline in the ability to conceive a child. And that, you know, one out of five couples in the United States today are involuntarily infertile. That means that 20% of the population can't have children if they want to, and everybody's looking to the left and looking to the right and say, oh, gee, I wonder what happened, I wonder what happened. But in Germany, the German Department of Health is really big on German women having healthy children. And they did a study where they basically gave a drug to all the women. 450 of them show up once a year for a German fertility evaluation. And so Gerhard just gave all these women a drug that extracts mercury. All the ones that came out high in mercury from that drug dose basically received amalgam removal, and that something like 78% of them were able to conceive a child naturally with no further intervention by the same time the following year. And that they put them on a birth control pill for 6 months so they couldn't get pregnant because they didn't want them to get pregnant while they were detoxing from the mercury exposure, because that would produce a bozo child, and they don't want bozo children.
Well, they're much more concerned about their children over there. The thing is that certainly we know that in Sweden they will not allow, or at least they will not pay for a mercury filling, but they'll pay to get the mercury fillings out because Sweden is concerned about their people. They've done the scientific studies. It's not that they haven't done some scientific studies here. It would almost appear as if there seems to be another agenda. And, of course, the scientists that I know work with, Dr. Haley and others, who certainly want to do the scientific studies, cannot get funding for that. You can get funding for all sorts of things unless you begin looking into mercury toxicity, the mercury toxicity associated with autism. 1 in 6 American children, obviously 1 in 166 American children has autism, but you can't get funding to study the relationship of that and mercury. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Dr. Kennedy was just saying that certainly studies over in Germany show that if they could get the mercury out of women, did they actually take their fillings out, infertile women?
Yes, the government paid for it, and that it was Head and Shoulders. It was by far the most. Normally, if they go do all sorts of things like balancing hormones and all that stuff, they might get a 15-16% fertility. That they got a 78% fertility by simply taking the mercury fillings out with no other intervention. I have 6 children. Personally, I don't have any children, but I have 6 children that are born to women in my practice who were originally infertile, and I took their mercury fillings out, and they naturally conceived their children. And so, you know, it's really easy for me to say because I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen in my own practice. And it's just amazing. And I've always questioned these ladies to not try to get pregnant for the next 6 to 7 months, because if you're the best dentist in the world and you protect the patient in every way you know how, and I'm not talking about the ADA protocol, I'm talking about the IMT protocol, where you have a hose on your nose, the filling's cut in half, and it's extracted, every scrap of the material is sent to a hazardous waste recycler, as is the moral obligation of every dentist. And if you do that and don't expose the patient to minute amounts of mercury during the removal process, then it takes about 7 months for the blood level of mercury to drop 90%. And that at that point in time, the fetus is protected, because the fetus is not exposed to the mother's bones or her brain or the other kidneys or the other portions of her body that are still mercury poison. The fetus is exposed only to the mother's blood. And so that once you get the mother's blood level down 90%, the fetus has, you know, a 90% better chance of being healthy.
Now, is there any relationship between pregnant women and multiple fillings and the congenital defects as far as the child is concerned? Do we know there's any sort of relationship between that and the incidence of autism?
Absolutely. And that You mentioned his name earlier, that the guy that really nailed it is my good friend at the University of Kentucky, Boyd Haley, is that, you know, this was going around and around, and they say, oh, you can't prove that caused this, et cetera, et cetera. And that he teamed up with Amy Holmes and Michael Godfrey, and they did what's called the baby's first haircut study, and that a lot of mothers save hair from their newborn, and that, you know, then so that gave them some indication. And that what he showed was that if the mother had mercury fillings in her teeth, if she had a few, the baby had a little bit in its hair, had a lot, the baby had a lot in its hair, and it's a nice straight line graph. Unless the baby had autism, in which case the baby had absolutely zero doodly squat in its hair.
In other words, what basically the thing is that the child cannot excrete the mercury, so it tends to pool in the pool in the brain, and so that there is no mercury in the hair, and so
you're absolutely correct. The baby can't get rid of it, and you know that they can't get rid of the mercury in the womb anyway, because there's no way for a baby to get rid of mercury if it's exposed in the womb. And one of the other things they showed was that the drug Rogam, which is what they give Rh negative mothers, contains a lot of mercury, and they sometimes give these ladies two or three shots of this material during the pregnancy, and it also was associated with autism. And Rogam contains thimerosal, which is a ethyl mercury, and it's really toxic. It's like the stuff that they give in the children's flu vaccines. That, you know, it's ridiculous to be squirting mercury into the population, and yet that's what they do with the vaccinations that contain mercury.
Well, the thing even more frightening is that now, of course, they acknowledge that the children were getting too much mercury in the childhood vaccines, so they took it out of the childhood vaccines here for American children, but they left it in for the little black children we're going to give to in Africa because we want to help them. But what's so interesting is then they suddenly turned around and said, well, we took it out of the childhood vaccines, but influenza shots, is that in the childhood vaccine? But we'll start at 6 months because that's an adult vaccine, but we're going to give it to children. We're going to start giving it at 6 months, but we're going to give it to pregnant women in the first trimester where it'll do the most harm, and that's what they're doing. And doctors all across America are giving it because they couldn't believe that there could be people in government who really would want to do harm to children or harm to mothers or increase the incidence of miscarriages or their fertility. Apparently, in animal studies, it shows that it goes from generation to generation of difficulty getting pregnant or having offspring after they're loading down with mercury. Have you ever heard that?
Yes, and it even causes genetic damage. And even if you look at the sperm of dentists, that they have bent tails, broken tails, and the theory is that, oh, mercury may damage their sperm, but those sperm don't swim that good, so they won't make it to the womb. Well, you know, there's other damage besides bent and broken tails. You know, it could be an idiot sperm, and it gets to the womb just fine. So there's no reason that I can conceive of why anybody would legitimately agree to expose another person to mercury. If I went in with an aerosol can of mercury, and I sprayed the city council of some city with that, they would arrest me for assault with a deadly weapon. As a matter of fact, that did happen in one city where a man was mad at the city council, and he went and spread exactly the same mercury that I used to use in mercury in dental fillings around under the seats of the city councilman, and they had the police arrest him, say he was attacking them with a chemical. It was a chemical warfare. So why is it any different if this yo in some city decides to attack the city council with a broken thermometer if I put that in your tooth? Is there any difference in that?
Well, I think that people have to understand is one of the major thrusts of the elite today is population control. They know exactly what they're doing. They repeatedly write about the necessity of getting down to zero population growth, and they realize what they're doing, with, of course, with the fluoride, with the mercury, and with the other poisons that they're giving us. But certainly they are slowing down the growth. Families are getting smaller, and they sort of rub their hands in glee. You know, they have large families themselves. They just don't want that for us common folks. And as incredible as it may seem, there really are people who they see nothing wrong with harming children. It used to be autism was 1 in 10,000 children. Now it's 1 in 166 children. Who would do something like that intentionally? People who really have a different worldview. And nobody really wants to say this sort of thing, David. People always want to say, oh, they just don't know what they're doing. Obviously, there are certain people within government, within the medical profession, who do know. Most doctors don't. Most dentists are good people. But they're never allowed to hear the truth.
You're absolutely correct. And you know, you've got the 1 in 66 figure for Autism Town, but you almost let it slip that 1 out of 6 children born in America today have levels of mercury in their umbilical cord blood that is high enough to cause brain damage. 1 out of 6. So what did they say about that? They looked to the air and said, could it be air pollution? They looked to the sea and say, maybe it's the fish. And they looked to the food and they said, maybe it's in the food. Did they ever look in the mother's mouth? No. But that's where it's coming from. Autopsies of humans with fillings versus humans without fillings, when they analyzed the amount of mercury in their brain and the kidney, showed without a doubt, and this is 1980 studies, this is not new, the amount of mercury in the brain and the kidney and the blood is directly proportional to the number of fillings in the person's teeth. So why are we looking at the ocean? Why are we looking at the air? Because they want to distract you. So you don't know the real culprit are the people buying the fillings. That would be welfare. All the fillings paid for in back teeth for decades now have been mercury fillings. And that, how about the government? What if you join the Navy or join the Marines to be the best you can be? Go out and save your country from the enemies of our state. That if you get a filling in the Navy or the Army or the Marines in a back molar, it's mercury. And unless you're an admiral, I suppose you can get some of the other material. But, you know, I'm sorry. I don't think that's right. I think that we need to shape these people up and tell them, you're not behaving in an ethical, moral fashion. That's my opinion.
Well, I think every American who's listening to this program should ask, why is it that in Sweden they will not allow them or they will not pay for the insertion of a mercury filling? And they are mercury fillings. Don't call them silver fillings. That's just to confuse you. But they'll pay to take them out because they realize how toxic they are. How come they have they have smarter people over in Sweden than we have here? Or maybe they have a different agenda among the elite.
My theory is small democracies. Is that the smaller the democracy, the quicker they are to respond to the influence of the public. Nobody wants to see their child poisoned. Nobody wants to see their parents develop Alzheimer's. Nobody wants their loved ones to develop multiple sclerosis. And if you're in a small democracy and there seems to be a finger pointing at something that's really common, that's just in every dental office, you just say, I think we should eliminate that. And that's what Sweden said in 1987. It said, from a toxicological point of view, dental amalgam is an unacceptable restorative material. And as soon as alternative materials are available, that they should use those. I stopped using mercury in 1984. So 1987, they didn't think dentists knew how to do anything but it. But, you know, hey, I beat them by 3 years. I wished I'd beat them by 23 years because there have been materials around for the last 100 years that didn't use mercury.
In fact, I'll never forget when I was about that same time, 1984, I was learning to do acupuncture, and I traveled to Europe, and what was so interesting is that the German teachers there were telling, us fledgling students, you know, how to, one of the important things was to get the dental fillings out, and I thought that was the most ridiculous thing I'd ever heard. And of course, as time gone by, I of course realized it was a very, very advantageous thing to do. And in fact, I got so good doing acupuncture, I could begin to sense the auras. And about that time, I figured I want to get out of this. I'm really a surgeon. I mean, this is fascinating. I can help people. But there's something very, well, I didn't recognize the occult influence within acupuncture at that time. And, of course, perhaps the powers you were tapping into. But we shall never forget, they were right on as far as telling us to get the mercury out. And they were certainly, the tragedy is that the average doctor, the average dentist, is not hearing this. And you're not going to hear this discussed on most radio programs. Well, our guest, Dr. David Kennedy, and certainly we're talking about the mercury in fillings. Now, I think it's so important, David, that people understand that you don't want to just go down to your dentist and say, hey, take my mercury fillings out or silver fillings out. We would like to talk a little bit about the importance, how people would really should go about getting those fillings out.
Yes, and I liken this to the bomb disposal technician. If he shows up with a hammer, then he says, I know how to get rid of the bomb. There's a thing on the front, and you hit a couple times. You know, you need to run. And that's what happens. A lot of people go into the dentist, and they say, I'd like to have my mercury fillings out. And he says, how much money you got? And, that's not the appropriate answer. That there is a protocol for removing mercury fillings, exactly like removing an explosive device. You know, you have to defuse it. You have to collect it. And you have to get it out of the vicinity of human beings. And that's exactly the protocols that have been developed by the International Academy using science that's on the website. We're not trying to say we're better than anybody else or anything like that. We're just trying to tell every dentist in America that there are safe ways to do this and there are unsafe ways to do this. I don't know how to say that any better than that. Is it the unsafe way is the way you were taught? Is it in dental school? We just ground on these things and left particles all around and we didn't pay any attention to the elemental mercury vapor or the particulate matter. Both of those will poison the patient. So you have to drape the tooth with a rubber dam. You have to put a huge vacuum right beside it. You have to put a vacuum underneath the rubber dam because the mercury will go right through it. You have to squirt cold water on the tooth while you're working on it to keep the vapor down. And then you have to suck all that stuff up, put it in a hazardous waste container, and send it to a hazardous waste recycler. Cut the filling in half and take it out in two pieces. Then you take all the rubber dam off and wash all the debris out of the mouth. If there's even a microscopic particle, you sweep that up and clean it up and take it away to a recycler. That's the way you remove an amalgam. And that, unfortunately, I know people have been killed by having their fillings removed inappropriately or carelessly. Is that if you are indeed, in fact, mercury poisoned, the worst thing you can do is go have some idiot grind on the fillings. That's not how you do it. And that the Academy of Oral Medicine Toxicology has a web page up on the internet. You can download and print out the protocols, or you can go find somebody that's actually cared enough about the issue to go take the appropriate training courses, and they get to be accredited or a fellow or a master. And that's what if you're going to move away from mercury fillings in the teeth. If you have a child, just say no to mercury. And I know parents that have taken a child to the dentist and said, I don't want any mercury fillings. The kid goes back and they come back out with a mercury filling and they say, no, I decided it wasn't going to cause any problem. That's called assault and battery. That is against the law. And that, you just can't let them do that. It's not the dentist's decision. You get to decide what happens to your child. Not your dentist, not the school, not somebody else. You. You're the parent. You get to decide what happens to that child. If you say, they don't get any mercury fillings, they don't get any mercury fillings. Otherwise, it's just like sticking a knife in somebody. That's an assault. And so if I take a drill and stick it in somebody's tooth where I don't have permission to do that, I've committed a crime called assault. And, Stan, you know that. You're a physician. If you wanted to cut somebody's hip joint out and they said, don't touch me, you can't work on them. You're not entitled legally to touch that person until they say, yes, doctor, I would like to have you do that. That's called informed consent. And that, the reason people are so confused about this, there was a Zogby poll in a few months ago where they surveyed the general public and they said, you know what a silver amalgam is? And they said, yeah, it's a filling.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here in just a moment with Dr. David Kennedy here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and David just simply discussed the removal of the fillings. And, of course, the biggest thing is do not go to your dentist and say, I want to get my dental fillings out. First of all, the dentist will try to discourage you, and then if you insist, you go ahead and do it. But if he's not specially trained, why, he'll have nothing but trouble, and there is a website you can go to where they list the dentists in your area who have taken the training and know how to do it. It's not something you learn in medical school because they don't teach you how toxic this is. And so what is the website people can go to learn who the dentists are in their area who are specifically trained in the proper way to take out the mercury fillings?
Exactly, and then that's basically the International Academy of Oral Medicine and Toxicology, and that is basically www.iaomt. and that's I as in Ignacio, O as in Oscar, I-A-O, Alpha, I-A-O-M as in Mike, and T as in Tango, .org, O-R-G. It's a nonprofit organization. And let me give you a phone number that if you, they won't be there now in the middle of the night, but they will be there tomorrow. It's 863-420-6373. And so if you're not internet savvy, you can just pick up a telephone and run, write down the number 863-420-6373, and you can call Kim or one of the other ladies at the office and ask them for a dentist in your area. But the moral of the story is that you don't grind those fillings out and feed them to the patient. And that's the most important message I can give you. If you can go to the website, or I'm sure that Kim will package one up and put an envelope to you if you want her to, the protocols of having the filling removed carefully and meticulously. Even the American Dental Association, the advocates, the people that had the patent, the people who make money annually from their seal of approval and owe no duty of care, they claim, to the public, but they certify all the dental schools, cautioned in the Wall Street Journal against removing amalgam because of the exposure that it would cause you. Well, you know what? If you know it's going to cause you exposure to something, don't you have a moral obligation to not do that and not expose those people to those levels of mercury? Snap and Savary, back in 1981, removed mercury fillings without exposing patients to mercury. The blood level of mercury went down. It didn't go up. And that if they can do it in 1981, let's see, isn't that about 25 years ago? So what's the matter with the people today? Is that no dental school in the United States today teaches the student the appropriate protection techniques for patient protection. Now, I think that's a crime. I really do. Dental boards around the United States attack dentists who say bad things about mercury. Why would they do that? Because they represent the trade association that had the patent and makes money from the seal of approval and accredits dental schools and basically controls the dental boards. They're acting on behalf of a third party. That's organized crime, in my opinion. They really should be brought up short, but I don't have a law degree. I don't have the time to take these fools and criminals to court, but I sure wish somebody would.
Well, our telephone number, if you have a question or comment, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. The truth of the matter is, they know that they are poisoning the people. Now, I don't think the average dentist does, but the people up at the very top do. But they have a vested interest in this. They're afraid if they came out and admitted how toxic mercury is. I mean, mercury is so toxic that if you were to break a mercury thermometer and get the mercury into a room, you'd really have to cordon off the room and vacuum that thing up. And you know, it is so toxic, they no longer have mercury thermometers. Is it so toxic you no longer have your sphygmomanometers with mercury in them? It's just not allowed. And yet it's all right to put it in the mouth. And if you think it's inert, I think you really need to see Dr. Kennedy's DVD, because it starts off with a picture of the smoking tooth. The smoking tooth. Would you like to tell them about that picture?
I tried three times to get that picture. My friend Roger Eichmann is a miner. He's a dentist, but his hobby is gold mining. And then what a gold miner does is that if you take ore out of the wall of a mine or something like that, and you want to know if there's gold in there, what you do is you heat it a little bit in front of this light. And if mercury vapor comes off, there's probably gold in that sample. And that's because gold and silver attract mercury. And that he took a tooth that had a 25-year-old filling. And he holds it in front of this light, and you can see the mercury vapor coming off the tooth. And he rubs it with a pencil. More mercury vapor comes. He touches it with a pocket knife, and it comes big plumes of mercury vapor. He puts it in tepid water, 110 degrees, and it looks like he's holding a blowtorch there. It just leaps out of the tooth. So,
and ladies and gentlemen, this is what's going on in your mouth all the time, and the fact nobody's telling you that is simply a reflection of the degree of control that exists over what the American people think. We have this actually in several DVDs, but right now, of course, we're recommending Dr. Kennedy's DVD. What's the title of it?
Smoking Teeth. And equals poison gas.
Okay, we'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Dr. David Kennedy. We're talking about mercury that put in the teeth. And of course, most dentists are repeatedly told that there is nothing wrong, this is the way to do it. But the dentists who really try to get this information out, some of them in some states will actually take their license away, won't they?
They do. I just heard of a poor dentist in California here that just got his license jerked. So you know, the it's criminal behavior on the part of the attorney general. I have no idea why these people think that they're so, you know, entitled to mistreat the people who are leaders in their profession, but that's exactly what's happening. The people that, like myself, I've never been attacked, but then that's because I think I've used a written informed consent. That the dentist, Stan, you know, a dentist is only entitled to poison his patient. If I gave you a drug like fluoride that caused your heart to stop, I can't treat that. I can't inject you with calcium, magnesium, and other chemicals to try to get your heart to start again. I have to call 911 and get a doctor there. Dentists are not physicians. They're only entitled to treat structures of the teeth. And so when we poison you with mercury, what they're saying is these dentists that are taking these mercury fillings out are practicing medicine without a license. Well, you know, practicing medicine without a license would be what your mother said when she said don't smoke, because smoking can cause lung cancer. Well, in the way these jerks are thinking, that's practicing medicine. That's prevention. Good advice has always been the right of every citizen on this planet. And so if I want to give you some good advice, which is don't smoke and don't have mercury in your teeth, I think I'm entitled to say that under the Constitution of the United States. The people that would like to silence us would say, no, you're trying to practice medicine. You're saying that mercury caused a specific illness. No, mercury causes mercury poisoning. The fact that it's linked to Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, ALS, MS, infertility, birth defects, is just a kind of icing on the cake. That mercury causes mercury poisoning. You get enough mercury, you become mercury poisoned. That's how that works. But the fact that they're putting mercury in your teeth, I was starting to tell you about the Zogby poll. The dentists are a bunch of liars, in my opinion, because for the last 150 years, they've called these fillings silver. And the Zogby poll asked people, what's in a silver amalgam? And 76% of those people did not realize mercury was the principal ingredient. We have laws in every state in the union that if you're going to sell a box of Toasties, cereal...
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here in just a moment with our regular listeners here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Dr. David Kennedy, who's a retired dentist, and he's on the front lines of trying to wake people up about the dangers of water fluoridation. He's trying to wake people up about the dangers of the mercury that is in their fillings, in their mouth. And the scientific studies are out there. You can get them. You can go on the Internet, and if you want to get the information, the documentation, the scientific studies are there, but there's an organized, orchestrated, coordinated effort to attack people who try to protect the health of the American people and to glorify the people who are poisoning them, because both mercury and fluoride decrease fertility dramatically, and that is the major thrust of American foreign policy and domestic policy, is fertility control, population control, people control. So, but Doctor, before we go on, and you're going to tell us the full story of the Zogby poll, why don't we get your website out so people would know how to get in touch with you or get additional information?
It's my website is SaveTeeth, SaveTeeth.org, and you can reach me through that website. And that the save, as in saving money, and save teeth, and that the Zogby poll found that 76% of the people didn't realize there was mercury in a silver filling. And let me tell you what the law is. If you invented a new breakfast cereal that was 51% oats and 35% wheat, the law will not let you call that wheat toasties. You have to call that oat toasties. You have to call it oat something. The name in the cereal, when you go look at the list of ingredients, the principal ingredient comes first. And so silver's the second ingredient. The principal ingredient in an amalgam filling is mercury. And so that by law, they have to be called mercury fillings, or mercury silver fillings, if you wish. But they can't be called silver, because that's not the principal ingredient. We have consumer laws to protect people against that kind of fraud. And here we have an Zogby poll that went out to the people on the street and said, what's in this material? And that 76% of the people did not realize mercury was even in it, much less the principal ingredient. That's why we have laws like this, and it's time for this kind of deception to stop. It just irritates the heck out of me when Dennis says, oh, well, everybody knows an amalgam is mercury. Oh, they do? And so how come when we actually ask people what an amalgam is, they don't know?
Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But right now, let's go to Walter, who's calling from Minnesota. Hi, Walter. Do you have a question?
Yeah, I have partial dentures in my mouth, and I understand that the pink material contains cadmium. So I wonder if that can be detrimental to my health, too.
Yes, it can. The color often is the source of it. The reason I ask how old they are is that the newer modern plastics do not contain cadmium for exactly the reasons we were just discussing, that the profession has become more cognizant of these problems. So one of the things people need to understand, that if you have a nice-fitting partial denture that has worked in your mouth for, I saw a lady who had one for 30 years, and it still fits beautifully, that there's no need to change the metal as long as it's a metal that you tolerate well, and that you can change the plastic part very easily. It's just no problem at all. So if you have any concerns about that, you can find a biological dentist who can actually measure your immune response to various elements and pick a material that your immune system does not react to, and then use it to not change but rebuild your existing partial denture. So good question, and yes, you're right. You know what? Some of the porcelains, especially the ones made in the United States, contain degraded uranium, a radioactive product. Well, you know, like, how insane is that? And the thought is, well, you know, it's not going to leak out that much. Well, how about the poor lab technician that's grinding on this and polishing it all day? It's leaking out a lot there. So, you know, dentistry has absolutely no understanding of toxicology. No dental school in the United States has a toxicologist teaching a course to dentists. So if your dentist wants to start to talk to you about toxicology, understand they don't have they have never had a course in it.
Okay, anything else, Walter?
No, that should do it.
Okay, fine.
Thanks, Walter. Good question.
Thanks very much. And let's go to Bill, who's calling from Coeur d'Alene. And, again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. And 464-8295 here in the heart of California. Hi, Bill. Do you have a question for our guest?
Well, not so much a question, but I wanted to thank you for getting this word out. It is absolutely so. When you try to tell people that there's mercury in these amalgams, they do not want to believe it. I mentioned it to a dentist as far as the mercury thimerosal in vaccinations for a church organization that spent $100 million to vaccinate in Africa, as you had mentioned earlier in the program. Totally unaware. I'd like to get a copy of that. I don't have access to the internet. But last night on BBC, NPR, overnight, there was a lady that's heading up a association of families with autistic children, I believe, in Ohio. They're on the internet. It was so late, I didn't get the address. But it was discussed last night, and as you gentlemen indicate, they will look at the water, they'll look at the air, they'll look at the position of the stars before they look at the true culprit of our corporate industry.
They cannot allow the American people to realize that they've destroyed the minds and hearts and souls of so many of our children.
Well, I hope that the good doctor and you will be able to spot that website. I believe it's in Ohio, and it's a family association of victims of autistic children.
Well, there are a lot of the people, the parents of this, certainly know what it's about. In fact, we carry a book called Evidence of Harm. It's the story of autism and there's all the destroyed families, destroyed the lives of the children. And the tragic thing is, Bill, that there are treatments for this and has really been quite successful. Dr. Geyer's hands, of course, it occurs predominantly in autistic children, are male, and if you can block the testosterone and get that mercury out of them, it's like the light is coming back on, the shade comes back up, and the government is doing everything they can to discourage the effective treatment that would change the lives of these unfortunate children. You have to ask, who would be possibly that evil? Well, thanks so much for calling.
Good luck. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, let's go to Dan, who's calling us from Spokane. Hi, Dan. How are you doing?
Oh, pretty good. I'm really enjoying the show, but I tell you something. You went too fast over that. You were talking about the gold and mercury in mining, and you went so fast, I kind of missed it. It sounded as though if you had a gold tooth, that the mercury leaching would be more pronounced.
That's absolutely correct.
Pardon me?
That's absolutely correct. Is that other metals in the mouth, gold in particular, but even the partial denture we were talking about earlier, that if you open up a new package of mercury silver fillings, that in the material safety data sheet it says not for use in the mouth with any other metals, and that would be a child with orthodontic braces, an adult with a gold crown or a nickel crown. Other metals cause much more mercury to leak out of those old fillings than just, you know, having a tooth with just a mercury filling at all. You're absolutely correct.
That's just incredible. You know, I had a relative complain about her health, and so she said, well, I'm going to remove all the mercury from my teeth, all these fillings, you know. And I thought that was just ridiculous. But, you know, this was 10 years ago, and it really improved her health incredibly. I was amazed at it.
I'll tell you what, Dan, when I was in my residency training program, this was, 50 years ago, I was taking my residency in Oakland, and there was an older doctor there who was Mayo Clinic trained, and one of the things he did, he had these people come in with all these multiple symptoms, and he'd have them pull out all their teeth, and we thought he was just so crazy, and he invited us to come over to his office one time. I had a lot of the patients come in to give the testimonials of, you know, how well that they did after they'd gotten all of their teeth pulled and dentures. Well, I think, of course, what he was doing was getting all of the mercury out of them, and that was why they were getting so much better. But, you know, it was something that he'd learned at the Mayo Clinic, you know, 30 years before that. And, of course, we always used to laugh at him, you know, and think that he didn't know what he was doing. He was a lot smarter than we were, of course.
Gee whiz, I tell you what, this is, it's amazing. You doctors have got to watch your profession here on this stuff, it sounds to me like.
Well, look, there's nothing we can do about it. We've got to reach you, and you've got to reach your dentists and doctors, because there's no way to get through to the professional people. The organizations are controlled from the top down, and the last thing they want is for the doctors and the dentists to know that they're hurting the people.
Yeah, the dental student stands up in class and says, you know, I'm really concerned about this mercury in these teeth. They get kicked out of school. Is, you know, the control of the profession by the education system and the American Dental Association is ironclad. It's worse than the Nazis.
I've actually seen that in situations. It's hard to really believe it until you've seen it. And even when you're seeing it, it's hard to believe, because you believe in academic freedom so much that when you actually run across this sort of thing, it's just hard to accept it, you're right. I have seen that.
Yeah, and the weird. That's why I'm on this program tonight, and that's why Dr. Stan has had us talking on this subject. That the video Smoking Teeth, you can watch it, the internet version, on the IAMT website. It's a little miniature, 8 minutes of it. It's really 40 minutes long, or you can get a copy of the whole thing from Stan, and get a bunch of them and send them out for Christmas presents. Because, you know, that there's no way you can watch that video and not understand that mercury comes off fillings. And that, you know, if years ago when I had a lady came in and she said, do you know how to do white fillings? And I said, yeah, I do. And she said, well, you know, can you make these white? And I said, sure, I know how to do that. Took out, you know, 8 or 9 mercury fillings. And then she's still my patient today. I'm still in the old practice. And that she recovered from MS. And I said, well, I didn't know they caused that. But, you know, that was my learning experience. You know, she just heard something about it. Dan Rather on Evening News had said something about it, and so she decided to get them out. But we both learned a lot about that.
Well, God bless you, sirs, both of you.
There are no accidents.
God bless.
Dan, you got everybody up there in Spokane listening to us, will you?
I'll sure do it, sir.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Keep the fluoride out of the water in Spokane. They keep trying to put it in your water.
Okay, fine. Well, of course, again, the video, give us the title one more time of this.
Smoking teeth equals poison gas, or call it smoking teeth.
Okay, smoking teeth, and the video is available from Radio Liberty, as is the David's other video, Let the Truth Be Told. It's on fluoride, and certainly these are important videos. They're both fascinating. They're very, very professionally done, and I recommend them to you. Now, there's another one we get through David called Is Your Drinking Water Safe? And it's much longer. But, you know, certainly the trouble is sometimes you don't want something too long. I mean, a lot of great interviews in the other one, but this one, you know, simply on the Let the Truth Be Told. Short, concise, to the point on fluoride, and it's cut into segments that are about 28 minutes long so that you can actually show them on your local cable television. You've got to help us get the truth out, because you're not going to get it out through regular channels, and we're not going to reach everybody, but we'll reach those people that, well, that we're supposed to reach, that God wants us to reach. So you can help us get the information and certainly get it disseminated. Get people to understand they're being poisoned by such common things as drinking water, fluoride in the drinking water, but it's not really fluoride. It's hydrofluosilicic acid, raises the lead level, and in fact, that the statistics that that we got last time we talked to David, this is really, of course, devastating to blacks, because the lead level in their blood of blacks who are drinking this fluoridated drinking water, it goes up six times. It doubles in whites, four times in Hispanics, six times in blacks. And, of course, this is a little off the subject, but it's so important that you understand the things we're talking about. And then we wonder why today one in every three young black men is in prison or parole or in probation.
Well, they're looking for him.
Amen to that. And this is not happening by accident. There's a racial predisposition. What we're telling you is known by the elite, except not by the common people. And so we're so fortunate to have Dr. Kennedy is sharing these things with us. And now, of course, as far as the mercury is concerned, are any of the states, you know, in dental societies, you know, taking a step back? Are they still standing united, shoulder to shoulder, continuing to poison the people?
There are three dental organizations that have taken the position that I appreciate. It's the International Academy of Oral Medicine and Toxicology, the Holistic Dental Association, and the Association of Mercury Free Dentists have all opposed the use of mercury. The IMT has taken the most extensive position. You were talking earlier about having teeth extracted and people recovering. That was my grandfather's point of view. He was a dentist, graduated 1898. There's two things happening. Is one, if you extract the teeth, you take out the mercury fillings. The other thing that happens is that if you have gum disease, you've stopped the access of the bacteria to the bloodstream, and that is associated with cardiovascular disease and low birth weight babies and stroke and aneurysms. So my grandfather used to say smooth gums are healthy gums, and he meant have no teeth, and he had all his teeth out when he was a young man. Today, the technology exists to completely disinfect the mouth. You would think you were an idiot if you went around through life with an eye that was brick red and, you know, and dripping and had, you know, pus coming out of it and so forth. You'd go to any doctor and they'd say, oh, you have an eye infection, we need to treat that. Well, people go through life with gums that bleed every time they floss, gums that bleed every time they brush, and they think that's normal. That's another program for you and I, Stan, some night. But let me finish up on the FDA. Because of a lawsuit filed by Consumers for Dental Choice, the Food and Drug Administration was forced to hold a hearing on the safety of dental amalgam, and they were going to try to certify dental amalgam as safe and effective. And Charlie Brown, the lawyer for Consumers for Dental Choice, forced them into this position. And Susan Runner, who was so effective in putting a dog and pony show together for the Institute of Medicine, that where they didn't allow public input, where they restricted the information that the reviewers got. IOM had concluded that autism wasn't linked to vaccinations. Well, she was so happy with that that, in my opinion, she decided to do it again, and this time with mercury from dental fillings. And they put together a white paper, and the white paper says, oh, dental amalgam is absolutely safe. We've reviewed all these things, and the urinary level of mercury is not high enough to cause these kind of problems. And what we were able to do was to get 51 people to come and testify, physicians, dentists, scientists, and mercury poison people. They have over 2,000 reports of adverse reactions. And that we got a vote from the neurology panel and the dental panel. We got 4 dentists and 9 out of the 10 neurologists to say dental amalgam is not proven safe by these studies. And the amount of quality of information available to the FDA white paper, the conclusions were not reasonable. So it's not safe, and it's not reasonable to conclude they are. And that's what the scientists say when you hit them with the information.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We've got Gary calling. Hi, Gary. Where are you from?
Yakima.
Okay. Do you have a question or comment?
Well, yeah, I missed a little portion of your program, but I don't know if you covered this, but you said that porcelain is bad and gold is bad and amalgam's bad.
No, it didn't say anything at all about gold being bad.
No, gold's just bad if it's in the mouth with amalgam.
Okay, fine. So okay. You don't want to have mercury and gold together. There's nothing wrong with the gold.
Well, I got them both in my mouth, and I went to the dentist and told him I don't want the amalgam. Any more amalgam fillings? And he says, why not? And I says, well, they're toxic. And he said, oh, that's just a bunch of hearsay. There's nothing wrong with amalgam, but I'll do whatever you want.
Yeah. You know, show me the money, honey.
Did he take them out? Gary, did he take them out?
Yeah, he took one or two, one of them out that day, the amalgam out. See, but I was wondering if it was toxic to take them out, but I didn't know that you're supposed to have a specialist do it, you know?
You have to have special training in that. Go ahead and discuss that, David.
They just have to be careful. They just have to pay attention. But, you know, I wouldn't go to a dentist that said, oh, you're not smart enough. I'm real smart. But, you know, I know this stuff is safe. I say, Gary, you need to show him the back of your head because, you know, that if they don't believe you, then they're going to find some way to prove that you're wrong, and that's, you know, like ignore your wishes and expose you to mercury and say, oh, well, he didn't know anything. I got a call from a woman today that her husband is a dentist, and he's younger than I am, and he's got Alzheimer's so bad he doesn't even know where he is. So, you know, they're so smart until they turn into real, you know, like can't tell what day it is.
Well, what do you recommend?
They're on the website, you may have missed it, but the www.iaomt.org, or you can call the phone number of 863-420-6373 and talk to a real person. Then find a dentist in your community, or if you have to, you know, run the wheels on your car, run the wheels on your car and go find somebody that's accredited or a master or a fellow of the IOMT, or you can go to the website of the IOMT and download the protocols for removing the filling. And before you have any more fillings removed, take that protocol into your dentist. And the brochure is on the website of the next meeting. And say, you know, I'd sure like to spend a lot of money here because I've got a lot of stuff I want to do. But I don't really feel like you're the guy to do it unless you get a little more training. And that, you know, the training would probably be good for both of us because I'd like you to know what I know about this issue. And so, you know, are you open to, you know, having continued education? If you're a physician, the IOMT courses are accredited by the Academy of General Dentistry.
Hold that thought for just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Quickly, would you give Gary that telephone number again?
Gary, the phone number is, you got a pencil, 863-420-6373.
Yeah, I got that. But you don't recommend any. You want them to do the recommendation as far as what to put back in instead of amalgam, or?
Well, you know, plastic, porcelain, gold. You know, I don't care what you put back in. I just don't want it to leak mercury.
Okay, we're going to have to run, Gary, out of time. But God bless, and they have ceramics. They've got all sorts of things you can.
There are a lot of good
there.
Things you can fix teeth with. It's just not a problem.
Yeah, but you don't want the mercury. Thanks so much for calling. Let's go to Phil. Phil, we're just about out of time. Do you have a quick question?
Yes, I've got a question related to a neglected area of dental health, as far as I'm concerned. Dental flossing was mentioned, and it seems that the dental profession, public health authorities, and even the manufacturers of dental floss seem to give so little emphasis to the importance of regular dental flossing, because I know it's a very beneficial thing. Why is so little said about it?
Well, Phil, two reasons. One is that if I gave 100 people a piece of floss and had them go to work, is that about 1 out of 100 will do a decent job. So it's the technique sensitive. That means you have to have training. Even dentists, 67% of dentists did a poor job. And two, that I prefer to automate it. I have quadriplegics. I have people that have no mechanical dexterity at all. They're able to achieve perfect oral health, and we did it with electric toothbrushes and oral irrigators. So that I wrote a whole book on the subject. Dr. Stan carries it, I think. But it's how to save your teeth with toxic-free preventive dentistry. I floss, but that I'm one of the rare ones. But there's much easier ways to disinfect the mouth, and that's the important message I want to give you tonight. It's not just scraping the tooth with a piece of string. There's actually germs that live in the juice around the tooth, and we need to flush them out, and that's irrigation.
And what's the name of your book again?
How to Save Your Teeth with Toxic-Free Preventive Dentistry.
I suspect we have that, Phil. Anyway, God bless. Thanks so much for calling, because we're out of time.
Thank you very much.
Okay, and David, thank you for being with us, and we'll look forward to having you on our afternoon program real soon.
We'll do it again.
Bye-bye. Oh, okay, fine. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly we hope that many of you want to get the DVD. And of course, this is the one that the smoking tooth. That's the smoking tooth. That's the word on mercury. Let the truth be told is the one on fluoride in the drinking water. And you need to understand that they're poisoning our children. I mean, these things affect the IQ, but you have to understand, in an authoritarian society, they don't really want smart people. It affects the fertility, but aren't there too many people in the world? After all, wouldn't we be better simply to prevent many women from getting pregnant or increase the incidence of miscarriages? And then we can, of course, bring in people from other countries to do the work here. We've killed almost 50 million children through abortion, and we've brought in almost 30 million immigrants to replace them. Illegal immigrants, of course, to change the makeup of our society. There are people who have a different agenda in the world. Well, if you'd like to get the videos, first of all, the DVDs we've talked about, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We have 2 4 tape sets on mercury. We carry the book, Evidence of Harm, Going into the Background of Autism. We have a 4 tape set on autism. And the tragedy, 1 in 6 American children has some sort of a neurodevelopmental abnormality. It never was like this before. It only came upon us, of course, as we began loading our children with mercury in their fillings, but even more than that, mercury in their childhood vaccines. But don't worry, they've taken out of the childhood vaccines, but they're going to start at 6 months of age and giving it to children in the influenza shot, and we're going to give it to women in the first trimester of their pregnancy, where it will do the maximum amount of harm. Could anything be this evil? Well, read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. Get the material we have, things like Hostage to the Devil, Malachi Martin's book, or the Malachi Martin special with the book and the 4 tape set. And then, of course, you want to get my talk on water fluoridation, The Hidden Agenda, and you'll want to get the syllabus that goes with that as a reduced price. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Again, our number, 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, radioliberty.com, where you can listen to our programs 5 hours a day and not get anything at all accomplished. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, and right now we have us on the line, Brad Friedman, and we had Brad on some, many months ago, and I really have not been too concerned about the voting problem, which he is so dedicated to exposing. But I will tell you, as time goes by, I'm more and more convinced that this is one of the major issues facing America today, and that is they're fixing the elections. The electronic voting machines can be programmed to give you any sort of a result they want. And, of course, we remember during the last election there in Ohio, which was the deciding state, there was one district, a precinct, had about 800 voters, and it had 4,000 votes for George Bush. And people said, how could that be? 800 people registered in the precinct and 4,000 votes for George Bush? And they said, oh, well, the machine had a hiccup. Well, ladies and gentlemen, they're lying to us. They're fixing the elections. You think your vote's got to count when they have electronic voting machines with no paper record and no way to find out what's going on? Well, Brad Friedman was a lot smarter than I was. He's been dedicated to doing something about it, trying to wake people up, and I'm going to have him on to all of our programs and keep hammering away at his issue, because if we don't get the election process straightened out, forget about America. We already live in a dictatorship. Brad, thanks so much for being with us.
Hey, good to be here, Dr. Stan. Thanks for having me.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? Certainly, you're totally dedicated. I never saw so many emails. I get them just about every day from you.
Well, sorry about that.
That's all right. You keep right up.
As it turns out, there's just that much going on in this, certainly with this election integrity business, as our elections are really falling apart across the country, and I cover that at bradblog.com every day, whether I like it or not. And also I've formed an organization, velvetrevolution.us, to fight for election integrity and help the citizens come together to take their country back, because, I mean, we have really got a mess on our hands, and in many ways you actually understated it by saying that it's one of the most important issues. I would suggest it is perhaps the most important issue, which is why I've gotten so stuck on it at bradblog.com. Believe it or not, we were not an election integrity blog originally, but, you know, as I've looked at this thing, the more you look at it, you realize, well, if you don't have electoral integrity, if you don't have confidence in your election system, if you can't throw the bad guys out when you need to, then you can talk yourself blue in the face about anything you want, Iraq, the environment. It doesn't matter at the end of the day if you can't hold the officials accountable via the only method that the citizenry has, which is at the ballot box.
Well, I certainly agree with you, and I think that it's so vitally important, because I have to cover the whole spectrum of all the things going on in the world, but I think your issue is so important, and we're going to start emphasizing it a lot more, because we've got maybe one more election. Maybe we've already had our last election. Who knows? Certainly with the new legislation, the Military Commission Act, and the John Warner Defense Appropriations Act that allows the president, encourages the president to declare martial law, at least according to Senator Patrick Leahy. And if you read the legislation, you'll understand why are they so intent upon using the American military against the American people, and why are they giving all the money to Halliburton to build detention camps. We'll be right back in just a moment with Brad Friedman talking about election integrity. Well, Brad, how are we going to get fair elections in the United States? Most people think we have fair elections. After all, you know, we're told, you know, the votes come here, the votes come there, but how do you know whether they're honest enough if there's no paper trail? And even if there is a paper trail, you're going to have them recounted. And how do we know that they're not stuffing the ballot boxes? What do you do when you have immoral people within a whole system of elections fixing elections, because there's a lot of money and a lot of power to be made if you have your man in positions of authority in this government of ours?
Well, you're right. There sure is. There's a lot of money to be made, and I think this is something that people tend to overlook. They think, oh, it's only elections, we don't have to worry about it that much. But, you know, this country has a rich history of stolen elections and messing with those ballot boxes. What I've come to learn in the time that I've been working as an investigative journalist on this topic, what I've learned is that it is really the people who make the difference. It is, you know, this last election, we had a mess on our hands, but quite frankly, I think it would have been indescribably worse had there not been so many folks, this sort of ragtag band of citizen patriots who has come to understand the importance of this issue, and they are signing up to be poll watchers and the poll workers, and they're in there in the tabulating rooms on election night. They're keeping an eye on, you know, what these guys are doing. They're holding these elections officials accountable for the rule of law. And, you know, these guys, these elections officials, are now on notice. You know, we are watching you. We are there, and we are paying attention to keep you from being able to get away with the shenanigans you've been able to get away with, and the real crisis that this country is now facing is the privatization of our public election system, to the point where we now have these infernal voting machines which use secret software to count our vote. That's the problem. It's the lack of transparency above and beyond everything, so that you get to a point where even if you've got citizens there, look, you cannot see what goes on inside that black box. And that's, you know, that's the real crisis we face, and that's why without these patriots around the country, I shudder to think where we would be now, and frankly where we are now is not in such great shakes. So you know, I'm hoping we'll see quite a bit of election reform, because why, you just hit the tip of the iceberg earlier when you mentioned you know, some of the problems in Ohio in 04. Things have gotten exponentially worse. Hello?
There used to be an old slogan. It didn't matter how you voted, just go ahead and vote. Well, I don't think that's right. I don't think you should be voting unless you know what you're voting for. And then, of course, you know, they said, well, you know, of course, what's really important, you know, is how you vote. And but it's not how you vote, it's who counts the votes that really makes the importance. And if you have people counting the votes who are dishonest, why you don't have honest elections? Now, back in 1960, why old Papa Kennedy stole the election for Jack Kennedy for the presidency. He got in touch with the mafia. They fixed the election in Chicago. They fixed it in one other state, and that's how Jack Kennedy came to be the president of the United States. The mafia, of course, had been strong in the Chicago area. Of course, Chicago is notorious, you know, for simply stuffing ballot boxes and but they stole the president's election in 1960, and I think they stole the president's election in 2000 and again in 2004. But they're using these electronic voting machines, and I think this is the big problem. You can rig these machines, and without a paper trail, how do you know what they've done? And they say, oh, just trust us. Well, why would anybody want to trust them?
Well, that's exactly right. And let me draw a distinction between what you're talking about back in the old days when we had what was retail fraud versus what we have now, which I would suggest is wholesale fraud, meaning Princeton University recently released a report. It was actually a Diebold insider came to me and asked me if I wanted to take a look at one of these Diebold touchscreen machines. Diebold is one of the biggest voting machine companies. And I said, well, you're darn right I do, because the fact of the matter is nobody in America, not at the federal, state, or local level, has ever been allowed to look at these voting machines for any period of time. The software that they use is proprietary, and even the elections officials who use these systems are not allowed to get in there to look at the source code, to investigate these machines to see how they work. So he came to me, said, you want this? I said, you bet I do. And I got it over to Princeton University. They took a look at it, and for the first time, they had it for about 5 months. They were actually able to study this thing inside and out, and what did they find? They found that a single person who gets access to a single machine can implant a virus, a vote-flipping virus, and you can see all of this on the web, by the way. They've got video of exactly this. They can flip the vote on just not just that machine, but that virus can then spread itself from machine to machine in the same county, in the same state, and steal an entire election, then delete itself at the end of that election, so you would never know. There would be no way to ever find any trace of that hack. So when you're talking about Kennedy and you know what went on in those days...
they were pikers compared with today.
They were pikers, and not only that, it took an actual conspiracy. It took a lot of people to stuff box after box. Now we're talking... It's no longer a conspiracy theory, Dr. Stan, because, in fact, it takes only one person to rig an entire election. That's an extraordinary threat, and it's an extraordinarily grave national security threat, frankly. As it's been explained to me from the computer scientists that I speak with all the time, they are jumping up and down screaming. You can't find a computer scientist who says these machines, particularly without any paper backup whatsoever, make any sense at all. The people who know the most about computers know that this is an absolutely insane way to run our election system. And let me add, we don't need paper trails, and this is a big distinction, because you're going to see legislation now beginning to come in Congress. We don't need paper trails. We don't need paper records. What we need is a paper ballot for every vote cast. A lot of these touchscreen machines and so forth sort of slapped on this we call it a toilet paper roll, this reel-to-reel paper that is a so-called voter-verified paper audit trail. Well, they don't work. They jam up. They're inaccurate. They, too, can be gamed. We need, and I understand this is very complicated technology, but a piece of paper and a pen. We need to mark the ballot, put it in the box, and count it.
I'd count it by hand.
Well, you know what? I would even accept optical scanned ballots if there are appropriate audits of those ballots, if the software used to count those ballots is publicly disclosed open source software, so that we can see how the hell our votes are being counted. Transparency. It's all about transparency. And frankly, Americans have the right, if nothing else, to see how their vote is counted. And this is something that I think all Americans from all parties understand. A recent Zogby poll said that 92% of Americans felt they ought to be able to see how their votes are counted. Zogby can't get a 92% count on anything politically. The fact that across all demographics, everyone, Republican, Democrat, Green, Libertarian, Independent, all age groups, all religions understood that, I think is very crucial here, and I think the people are far, far and away ahead of the media and the politicians in understanding this.
Well, my understanding is that in the Ohio election in 2004, really that John Kerry was ahead, certainly the exit polls showed John Kerry was winning the state, and had that been the case, he'd be the president today. And I want everybody to know, I don't like John Kerry. I mean, I can't stand the man, but that I can't stand his opponent. I don't like either one of them. But I think that the tragedy is that here we have an election frankly stolen, and all of a sudden, the whole thing just sort of flips over. Carrie's way ahead, and then suddenly Bush is ahead.
Well, that's right. And to be clear, I didn't vote for John Kerry either. But look, the fact is America gets the government that it deserves. If they want a George W. Bush, if they want a John Kerry, whoever it is, it doesn't much matter what you or I actually think about them. That's what they want. That's what they get, as long as that is the person who received the most votes. And it wasn't just Ohio that flipped, that was counter to the exit polls. It was Ohio. It was Florida. It was Pennsylvania. It was New Mexico. State after state, which showed that John Kerry should have won according to those exit polls, all of those states ended up flipping to Bush. And, again, going back to the scientists, the statisticians and so forth have looked at this, and they said there is a 1.5 billion chance that that could happen in every state, and that every error, even if you say, well, there's, margin of error on these things, that every error could always benefit George W. Bush. It just... it makes no sense. So you have that problem going on. You had problems with the machines coming in at that point. You had an extraordinary amount of gaming of that state of Ohio, gaming at the polls, in precincts where you had fewer voting machines in the general election than you even had in the primary election, and, of course, predominantly Democratic-leaning districts, where the whole state was being run, as you know, by Secretary of State J. Kenneth Blackwell, who just happened to also be the co-chair for the Bush-Cheney re-election committee in 2004. Going back to 2004, you've got a mess, but I can't underscore that as bad as it was in 2004, it has gotten worse and worse up to 2006 at this point, all because the Help America Vote Act, ironically named Help America Vote Act of 2002, which essentially set aside 3.8 billion tax dollars, billion federal tax dollars, to buy these new voting machines that, again, use secret software to count our votes that are tested by no one. And, the voting machine companies jumped into this game. They saw all this free money out there, and they paid no attention whatsoever to security. They just got these machines out as quickly as they could, and forget about fraud. They just don't work. That's the problem. In 2006, we saw state after state where voters were turned away from the voting booth without being allowed to even cast a vote. When they would show up in the morning and, the elections officials the poll workers couldn't get the machines started. That in itself, to me, is a crime. And that can't happen. If you've got paper ballots, optically scanned, hand counted, I don't care. People can vote anywhere. They can vote on the floor. They can vote on a clipboard. They can vote on the wall. But when you rely on these, particularly these touchscreen voting machines, and they break down, as they do, then the lines go out the doors, and then, in America, people can't wait 2 and 3 hours on a work day.
And, of course, there in Ohio, the black area, sometimes they're waiting 4 or 5 hours. These lines just go on and on and on to discourage them intensely from voting. Why? Because they were going to vote for John Kerry. And, was there any criticism? Oh, shucks, we were just so inept. We just didn't have enough. We only had 2 voting machines, where we should have had 20 or 30 of them. We had no idea. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if we're going to have a representative government, we've got to have honest elections. And we don't have honest elections. And if you're not concerned about this, you should be. Because, of course, if you're not concerned, who's going to be? And if not now, when? When, of course, it's not going to matter who you vote for. You got one candidate to vote for. And simply, why is any going to be running for Congress or the Senate when you got a rigged election? And ladies and gentlemen, they're rigging elections in America today with these electronic voting machines. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Brad Friedman. And Brad, go ahead, pick up the story there.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're seeing not just the problems, as you were discussing, in Ohio. We're seeing them now getting exponentially worse. You've got these touchscreen machines now that are proliferating the country. And, you know, in this this last election, 2006, why, you know me, you get my emails, you know I was yelling and screaming with my hair on fire about where we were headed. And, in fact, on Election Day, we had a meltdown. Thousands of people around the country were simply unable to vote, you know, when the machines didn't work. And we had close elections which could not be recounted. You know, the election, for example, between Webb and George Allen in Virginia. Frankly, George Allen, we dodged a bullet with that election because that the balance of the Senate was hanging on that one election, and it was very, very close. George Allen had the opportunity, if he wanted, to ask for a recount there. He didn't, because I think one of the reasons is that he realized that 80% of the voting machines used in Virginia have no paper trail whatsoever. So you can't do a recount. You can do a reprint, basically. Hit the same button, and it'll, you know, print out the same numbers that it did before. So we dodged a bullet there, and we've dodged a bullet down in Sarasota, Florida right now. And when I say we've dodged a bullet, it's because, frankly, the balance of the U.S. House of Representatives does not rest on this race. But down there in Sarasota, Florida, you've got a case where, the Republican, Vern Buchanan beat, the Democrat, Christine Jennings, by 369 votes in Sarasota, in the 13th district in Florida. Now, we have close elections. That's fine. The problem is 18,000 votes are simply missing. And down there they use these touchscreens made by ES&S, which is actually the biggest voting machine company in America. And there's they happen to be paperless touchscreen machines, so they don't even have the terrible paper trail I was talking about. They don't even have that to go back to. Now, some people, in this case the Republican, have said, oh, well, it's just because people didn't want to vote. They purposely didn't vote in that race. Well, the undervote rate was about 15% in that race when you had a way down ticket on, I believe it was the hospital board race, you had a 1% undervote race for hospital board. In the same election for the U.S. House in the 13th District, the people who voted absentee, and they have a paper ballot, the undervote rate was about 2.5% on that race. So something went horribly wrong down there in that race. We've got a full state-run audit going on. The candidate has filed a contest. A number of election integrity groups have filed a contest on behalf of voters in the district, and they are calling for a revote. I was just reading before it came on the air here tonight that they're looking at this audit, which is being run by the state with some very partisan folks, by the way, who are running it. But in any case, they're saying that this audit and this investigation into this this whole mess may take another 2 months.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Certainly our guest this evening, Brad Friedman, from with Electronic Integrity is the organization, or at least that's what they're trying to get. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Brad is talking about a race in Sarasota, Florida, where actually I think there is something like 380 votes between the Republican candidate for Congress and the Democrat candidate, but there are 18,000 votes that are missing. And, of course, there's no paper trail because it was all done with electronic voting machines. You don't lose 18,000 votes. In other words, people voted, but they just didn't vote for either candidate, either for the Republican or the Democrat. And, of course, in the hospital board, there were 15% of the people didn't vote?
No. There was in the hospital board was 1%.
Hospital board was 1%, but for Congress, what was it?
About 15%.
So this just doesn't happen, ladies and gentlemen. Somebody fixed the election, but they can't let the American people know how crooked this thing is, that everything is being manipulated today. And if we can't trust our elections, and we can't trust our election officials, that who can we trust? And do we really have any representative government? Or is this simply all a perception, a reality, having nothing to do with the illusion that they're creating? Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Are you concerned? You should be. Go ahead, Brad.
Well, I was going to say, I had 2 points on that. One, in fact, we don't know if it was fixed. You suggested that it was fixed down there in Sarasota in the 13th District. It may have been. It may not have been. I tend to, at bradblog.com, I don't report anything unless I can prove it. Even more than that, I don't report anything unless you can go and independently verify my work. I don't think you should trust me. I don't think you should trust any journalist. I think you should, go out and be able to check these facts for yourself. So that said, I don't know if it was stolen. I don't know if it was fixed. But I do know that these machines, that they don't work. And the fact is, because no one is allowed to independently test these systems, no one is allowed to look at these systems before, during, or after their use in an election, we will never know. Now, these machines, particularly made by ES&S, but really all the voting machine companies, are just notoriously inaccurate. They fail time and again. We've had reports all across the country this year of vote flipping, where people go in, use a touchscreen machine, choose one candidate, and the results come up for someone else. In this case, down in Sarasota, it looks like we've got hundreds of folks who have given affidavits saying they tried to vote, and then they got to the end of the voting process. They specifically voted for, Christine Jennings down there, and the summary screen either came up with no vote at all or for her opponent, Vern Buchanan. Now, that can happen accidentally. That can happen through bad programming if we are not allowed to independently test these things. So that's the problem is. We will never know because the system has been completely taken away from the people. The other point I wanted to make, we talked about trusting elections officials. You shouldn't trust elections officials, and the honest elections officials out there will be the first ones to tell you that. Our system was not built on trust. It was built on checks and balances. And, we shouldn't have to trust anyone. We should be able to see it for ourselves. I don't know if you got a break coming up at the bottom of the hour, but I want to share a story with you about an elections official who I spoke with on the air. This was just prior to the 2005 off-year elections, and he had gotten those up in Monterey County, California. The fellow's name was Tony Anchundo. He had been the 13-year elected official there. He was just getting new voting machines made by Sequoia Voting Company. And he said, oh, these machines are great. And I said, well, what are you going to do at the end of the day? You've got a paper trail on these things. What are you going to do when you audit that paper trail and you find out the machine, the count on the paper doesn't match up with the machine? Which one do you go with, the paper or the machine? And he said, well, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. Not a good plan. That said, though, he went on to say that people have to have trust and faith in their elections officials, and to a certain extent, and in this case, that would be me. Well, 3 months later, April 2006, Tony Anchundo, that election official, was charged with 43 criminal counts, including forgery, extortion, and grand theft. So no, you should not trust your elections.
Yes, I know. Of course, we see him on the television all the time, and of course, they're going to get him off with a slap on the wrist, and he'll pay back the money. But I think unless an officials, any official is, should be held to a higher standard, but of course they sort of look after one another. We're going to be back here in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And we've got Tom calling from Ohio. Hi, Tom. How you doing tonight?
Oh, I don't know. I've been sick for almost 2 weeks now. But, you know, we could, with this nice voting system we got, we could vote ourselves right into those camps and pay for the gas to get us there. And I understand that some of those camps are up and running, those Halliburton camps.
Well, we don't know whether they are or not. We know they have a lot of old army camps that where they've simply changed the barbed wire on them, not to keep people from getting in, but to keep them from getting out. There's one over there by Las Vegas. We've got all sorts of films of them. But
have you been
we're
down?
Going to talk about really about the voting issue. We've got to get honest voting, and how are we going to do it, Tom?
You know, it's just like we started out with, like the man said, a pencil and a piece of paper and honest people to count. But you see, we have these Masons that were in charge of everything. We had guys like Dick Cheney that had the attitude that the riches of the Caspian Sea are so vast that World War III is worth considering. So, you know, when, how are you going to have, you know, these people are allowed to say things like that and are not even impeached out of office or held with any accountability because they're so powerful.
Well, Tom, our job is, of course, to get as many people as we can. And thanks so very much, and I hope you get feeling better.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 here in the central coast of California, where, of course, we're just across the bay from Monterey, where the voting official was recently charged with, of course, stealing, using his credit card for about $80,000, paid for by the county for all of his private offenses, all of his private uses. But, of course, they said, well, he's such a nice man. He looks after his mother, so we shouldn't punish him for that.
Yes. Tony, Trust Me and Chundo is what I call him ever since that episode. I actually have it on tape over at bradblog.com. It was incredible. And I'll tell you, the fellow who came in, who is now the acting registrar out there in Monterey County, doesn't seem to be much better. A story after the election in the Monterey Weekly has this Claudio Valenzuela is his name. And he was talking about the long lines that voters were facing. Because you had a poll worker there who had told the Monterey Weekly that because of problems they had with the machine, dozens and dozens of folks, you know, couldn't wait in line and they had to leave. They had to go get to work that day. Well, there was about four different races, and I haven't checked back lately, but there was about four different races a week or two ago that had no more than a dozen votes.
Hold that thought right there.
Okay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Brad Friedman. We're talking about voting and voting fraud, and we're talking about the voting machines. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And unfortunately, they're told, oh, you've got to trust your voting, or you've got to trust the people who vote down, you know, at the registrar of voters. And I say you do not trust anybody. Power corrupts, and absolutely power corrupts absolutely everybody who's involved. And so we need a paper trail, and I think that's Brad's plea, and I agree with him. We've got Ray calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Ray. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. A question. Has California gone to all electronic machines, or is it just like, or is it just a combination?
It's darn near all electronic.
Near all electronic. I know it is up where I live, but
I know one reason, of course, of really here in California, we had Bruce McPherson as the Secretary of State, and he wasn't worried about the integrity of the voting machines, but certainly the Democratic contendant for the Secretary of State was, and she won the election. Did you have any strong feelings on that aspect of it, Brad, between the Bruce McPherson and the Democratic candidate?
Oh, yes, just a little. in fact, Bruce McPherson was simply horrible. Horrible. And frankly, California and America couldn't be better off now with the fact that Deborah Bowen actually won this race, because she does seem to understand these issues. She's a computer nerd, I suppose, like me, and she understands the threat, where McPherson was just clueless. Now, it's really important, and the reason I say it's important for not just California but for America, because Diebold refers to California not as California, but as the world's largest voting market. What happens here affects the rest of the country. So I suspect we're going to see a whole new ball game with Deborah Bowen, at least I hope so, with Deborah Bowen coming in as Secretary of State, because McPherson pretty much rolled over for the voting machine companies, allowed them to get away with absolutely anything and everything. Recertified voting machines that had been decertified by his predecessor, and the state of the elections in California, you know, people think, oh, it's a safe state, it's got a paper trail law. Well, we do have a paper trail law, but the paper trail law doesn't mean anything if you're allowing these voting machines, for example, to be sent home with poll workers for days and weeks prior to the election, even after the state and the feds have determined that they can be hacked in less than 60 seconds if they are out of the supervision of elections officials. That's what we've got here in California until now. I hope that changes, because McPherson was really a rubber stamp for the voting machine companies and those elections officials. And we've got some good ones here in California, but we've got a lot of bad ones who are, frankly, buying into the line that they've been sold by the voting machine company.
Is Waxman one of them? Or?
Waxman, well, he's not an election official.
Yeah, but is he, what's his, I was just wondering about that, you know, because
you know,
I was just wondering whether there was any activity in Congress, you know, in regards to, you know, accountability of the electronic voting machine.
There is. There is, in fact. There was a bill, you know, for the last couple of years there's been a number of bills in Congress, but the Republicans have not allowed any of them to come forward, bills that would have required paper trails, if not paper ballots, and there's a big difference, but they wouldn't even allow those to come forward. Rush Holt from New Jersey has probably the most popular bill in the House. It actually has a majority of House members signed on as co-sponsors, but they wouldn't let that come forward either.
I heard that Jesse Jackson is I guess his son or something like that, was really big into this getting the states to have a uniform voting. They were trying to introduce an act or something in the Congress
Jesse Jackson Jr. has a bill. It's actually a constitutional amendment. To give the right to vote,
right,
to citizens. I think a lot of people don't understand that there is actually no federal right to vote. So it's a state by state thing. Out here, also in California, Senator Boxer was a bit of a hero just prior to the election. I had called at bradblog.com for a bill requiring emergency paper ballots in every jurisdiction, and she stepped up in the Senate. And Rush Holt stepped up in the House about a week later after I called for it, and introduced bills in both the House and the Senate that would require a emergency paper ballot. So if the machines broke down, at least folks would have something to vote on. And out here in California, as it turns out, you do have the right to ask for a paper ballot if you want it. A lot of the elections officials weren't giving them up, and Bruce McPherson didn't require them to. He said, "Oh, it's up to you guys, to have enough paper ballots." But so he did not enforce that. But in fact, you know, please keep that in mind when you go to the polls out here in California. You have the right to ask for paper not plastic.
Yeah, that's what I always...
anything else, Ray?
Yeah, there was one other thing. You know, I speaking of the government, I heard, I found out from a website, I Googled up on the website, about detention centers, and apparently there's 600 of them already been built. And the biggest one is in near outside of Fairbanks, Alaska, and it holds almost 1 million people. It's really scary.
Well, they certainly have. There's no question that they're out there. We have pictures of them. We have videos of them. We have, of course, pictures of the hearings back during the Iran-Contra, where they tried to bring this out, and Senator Inouye would not allow Congressman Brooks to bring out the fact about the fact that there is legislation that allows them to suspend the Constitution and start arresting people and put them in detention camps. But let's stick with the voting aspect of it tonight, okay?
Yeah, I just wanted to mention that.
Okay, anything else, Ray?
Yeah, that's all.
Oh, God bless. Bye-bye. All right, fine. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And Ray says he's scared. Well, he ought to be scared, and everybody out there ought to be scared. But the only way we have right now to be effective is to have honest elections. And we haven't had honest elections, I don't think, on the national level for presidency, you know, for at least 6 years, I believe. The 2000 election was stolen, and the Supreme Court had no right to intervene. Election has always been a state issue. But, of course, when you've got a Supreme Court that can counter the Florida Supreme Court, I figure the Florida Supreme Court's corrupt. But what makes you think the federal Supreme Court isn't corrupt? And they had no right to intervene in that Florida election. And certainly what's happened in 2004 was a total disgrace. And the fact that most people really don't understand how they rigged that election is really rather frightening.
Well, I'll tell you, in 2000, one of the things that a lot of people don't understand is, first, when it was George Bush who went to the Supreme Court, and basically what they decided was that they should not recount the vote. So, in fact, those votes were never counted down there in Florida until it was done sometime later by a consortium of news media outlets and universities, and they found, in fact, when they counted all of the ballots in the state of Florida, that, in fact, Al Gore did receive more votes than George W. Bush. But, you know, certainly lesser known than that is the fact, is how this all got started in the first place. People think it was, oh, the hanging chads, problems with the punch cards down there. And that led to the Help America Vote Act, which has now pushed these voting machines all over the country. Well, in fact, what happened was a Diebold optical scan machine registered negative 16,000 votes for Al Gore. Negative 16,022 votes down in Volusia County, which is what led to Gore conceding in the first place, and then as he was driving to the venue to make his public concession, they got the news, oh, we found this error down in Volusia County, negative 16,000 votes, which has never been explained to this day, by the way. And that's when he unconceded, and then the fight, you know, because they realized, well, there's only a couple thousand votes difference now, and that's when the recount mess began. And, of course, the solution to that mess from 2000, which was started by a Diebold optical scan tabulator, was for Congress to put through a bill that would require these very same electronic voting machines made by Diebold and others all over the country.
And, of course, what we see is this law of unintended consequences. Every time the federal government gets involved in something, it makes it worse. I've seen that in medicine. We see it in almost every aspect of what they do. The only thing efficiently they do as far as the military, they're very good at killing people. But there is no problem facing America today that a new federal law won't make much worse. Well, let's go to Ahmed right now. He's calling. Are you a driving truck right now, Ahmed?
No, I'm a truck stop.
Okay, fine. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes, actually, I came from overseas to the United States, looking for something you cannot really find in any spot on Earth except in the United States, which is feeling free, being free, acting free, and having all your rights protected. And when I see what's going on over here. It's really, it saddens that this is the last resort. Too many people run and see Cryphogen to whatever the reason is, whether financial or religious or any other reason. And you find people just don't really care about it.
Of course, you're absolutely right, Ahmed. And what we have to do, the reason I'm staying in America is because this is where the battle for the survival of civilization is going to be fought. And if America goes, so goes the whole world. But it never used to be like this. When I grew up, it was a good and moral and a country where men really could be free. But we're losing that, and we hope that you're going to stay here, get educated, and help us to get the word out. Because, you know, believe me, if we lose America, the whole world goes into chaos.
The whole world would be in chaos.
Yeah, that's right.
Unfortunately, people really keep using the word or the term freedom, where I really opposed to it. I would rather to be using the term rights. Because freedom, I can be doing whatever I want. But right, I will be protecting myself and protecting others.
All right. How are you listening to us there, Ahmed? Are you listening on shortwave or internet?
I'm listening on a very bad signal radio over here in my truck. It's not the radio is bad, but maybe the coverage over here. It's
is it a radio station there?
Yeah, it's 89.7. It's on my truck.
Okay, fine. Well, we do have a station there in Alabama that's certainly it does carry our program. We're appreciative of that.
Anyway. Yeah, and I wanted to know what's your website, actually, guys, and your guest website. He was saying it so quick, and the signal on the radio is not clear for me to write it down.
Okay, what is your website there?
My website is bradblog.com. B-R-A-D.
Hold on. D-R-A?
B-R-A-D, like Brad, my name, Brad Friedman.
Oh, Brad.
Brad Blog. B-L-O-G.
B-L-O-G.
Dot com.
So it's bradblog.com.
Yes, sir.
And our website is radioliberty.com. So just keep right on listening, and certainly you can go to Brad's website. He's got a lot of great information.
And what about your website, the radio station? Is it RBN something?
No, well, you can go to my website, which is radioliberty.com. You're probably listening on the RBM network, but my website is radioliberty.com. You can also go to RBN.com. But
okay, excellent.
God bless. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so
much. Okay, let's go to Jack. Hi, Jack. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. Well, thanks for letting me speak. I would like to ask the guest whether racketeering, it seems with these private companies in their voting machines, there seems to be a collusive relationship here. And I suspect under RICO statutes, prosecution could be brought, especially when one considers that all municipal corporations are functioning as trust organizations, i.e. the Social Security Trust Fund at all. So when they violate proper protocols or rules and regs, it's breach of the public trust. And in this case, it's RICO. And I was wondering if the guest has any, any thought on that.
Do you have any thoughts on that? Jack is saying, could we use the RICO laws, of course, to get redress from the company?
Well, I'm certainly not a legal expert, but I know that, and I haven't heard discussion of using RICO. I do know that there have been a number of, and some of these cases are ongoing, of QI-TAMs, federal QI-TAM fraud suits, and state QI-TAMs. There was one that was settled in the state of California here in 2004 with Diebold for $2.8 million. I'm sorry. And as well, Bobby Kennedy, with whom I've worked on a couple of stories, some of the stories that he ran in Rolling Stone magazine. Bobby Kennedy and his partner, Mike Papantonio, have filed some fraud lawsuits based on some of the whistleblowers that I've reported on at BradBlog that I've referred over to them. And some of those cases for the moment are sealed the way federal QI-TAM suits are. So we'll see what comes of them. They're going up against the voting machine companies. As far as RICO goes, I'm not sure. I don't know if you could use that statute or not.
Okay, we're just going to have to get somebody who's really got the legal know-how to get. But I think it's a good thought, Jack.
Well, and it's worth looking into. I will tell you that there are also lawsuits all over the country, in state after state, launched by launched by a group called VoterAction.org, and they have really gotten a lot of good action. And in fact, in Colorado, just before the election, they got a decision in their favor, which essentially will decertify all of the voting machines in Colorado, because they found, a lot of this is going to be done. Much of this is going to be done in the courts, because that's what it takes to get discovery on what the heck is going on. And they discovered, for example, in Colorado, that the fellow who was in charge of certification of these voting machines for the entire state had no formal background in computer science at all, and in fact did nothing more to test these machines to see that they met the standards, such as we have any, beyond opening them up, seeing that they were there and the manual was there, and they said, okay, certified.
It almost sounds like FEMA, doesn't it?
It does indeed.
Anyway, Jack, thanks very much for calling. Appreciate it. Okay, that was Jack calling from Michigan, and we'll be back here in just a moment or two to wrap up this evening's program. This is an important subject, and we do hope that many of you will, of course, want to get more in the way of information. We're going to have Brad on a number of times. We're going to get together a 4-tape set. We're going to get DVDs. We're going to try to get you to go to Brad's website to get the information and help us to get it out across America while we still can. Well, Brad, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, I want to urge everyone to educate themselves as you've asked them to, because the fact of the matter is, this is not going to be one in the media. It's not going to be one with the politicians. This really is a matter of the citizens learning what's going on, paying attention, raising hell, contacting their voting, their elections officials, keeping them honest, writing letters to the editor, making noise out there. And this is one of the reasons why we've set up velvetrevolution.us. And I urge all of your listeners to stop by velvetrevolution.us, get involved. There's a lot you can do there. We will be announcing an action this week where, believe it or not, we've got to pound on our congressmen and women and senators to require a paper ballot for every vote cast in America.
And, I'm really so discouraged that the Republicans would not insist on that. They would try to block that, and it would take the Democrats to do the right thing for America. I mean, this really disturbs me as a lifelong Republican until recently, but I can no longer support a party that will do everything they can to block fair elections in this country. And, of course, to use the arm-twisting that they are to force the congressmen many times to vote for legislation they don't believe in, and will promise them tremendous financial rewards for their districts, up to billions of dollars, to vote for legislation going to do with globalism. We got real problems in America, ladies and gentlemen. I don't like either party, but at least the Democrats on this issue are right on, and the Republican Party is betraying the American people.
Let me just add very quickly that the Democrats, they're a lot closer, but they're not there yet.
Oh, I know.
They're calling for paper trails. We don't need paper trails or paper records. We need paper ballots.
I think you're absolutely right, and I'm so glad that you've thought this whole thing through. I'm just sort of coming on board a lot late down the line. In fact, I initially was very skeptical of the people, the writers of the book Vote Scam, but as time goes by, it became increasingly obvious that they were right, and I should have been much more concerned much earlier. Well, Brad, I want to thank you for being with us, and I want to get you on to all of our other programs. I'll be calling off the air, and we'll try to get you on for all the rest of them as well.
I look forward to it any time. Thank you, Dr.
God bless. Thanks very much for being with us.
You bet.
Our guest this evening has been Brad Friedman. And his website is bradblog.com. And you want to get on his emails. I kept them every single day. But they're all important and worthwhile. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time when I need to remind our listeners Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and quite frankly, we do need your help and support. If you believe that we have an important message, we do hope many of you will seriously consider joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, which is the backbone which allows us to be on radio programs all across America. And we certainly don't want to have to step back from any of the areas that we're reaching today. And I think it's fascinating. We actually, of course, reaching people in Alabama tonight. They're listening to a program down there. And incidentally, somebody said that the website is republicradio.com. That's republicradio.com is their website. And they do a good job, and we appreciate being on their radio program here, as well as the Radio Liberty Network and the Christian Religious Network and the American Christian Network. For this 2 hours, we have a great coverage, but we want to be able to maintain that. So if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family and become part of our team, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Oh, somebody has just written and said it's rbnlive.com. Okay, rbnlive.com is the right website for Republican Broadcasting. Okay, and then, of course, I also want to mention that we hope many of you want to get on my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. If you have not begun to make preparations for the difficult times that lie ahead, because there are going to be difficult times, then certainly all of our indications is that we are not going to pull out in the Middle East. They're going to continue staying there until we can get a war going with the Muslim world. And if you think that you're going to be able to sit back in your comfortable homes and just enjoy life when we're at war with the whole Muslim world, while you're living in a dream world, all they need to do is bring a freighter right up and down the coast here with missile launchers on it, and they could wipe out the whole West Coast with nuclear weapons within a matter of a few hours. And if you think that we can kill their people and continue killing them as we killed hundreds of thousands of Iraqis, and where is the outcry in America? And if we can torture people, and where is the outcry in America? I believe that God is just, and He brings retribution on countries that have done evil things, and we have done evil things. They are using America's military and financial might to force all nations into the New World Order and the New World Religion. And if you have not made preparations to look after yourself and your family, let me suggest if you'd like to get simply the catalog we have on the long-term food storage items, you'd like to get the book we carry called Into the Red Zone, I believe it is, Inside the Red Zone, that has a list of all the things you should be, preparations you should be making. Then, of course, if you'd like to get the either the Berkey Light or Berkey Water filter, you need to have access to good water. We carry many of the things that you need. We need to be laying in a good supply of medical supplies to look after yourself. I should say health supplies in the way of nutritional supplements. You need to start making preparations for yourself and your family, because I believe we're moving into difficult times. Our number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and or the video or DVD, or even the Brotherhood of Darkness special, which has the book, either DVD or VHS, and the audio tape. It's all the same message. You need to understand that there are spiritual forces behind everything going on today. If you haven't read the book, Hostage to the Devil by Malachi Martin, let me suggest it, or the book and the four-tape set, the Malachi Martin special. You need to find out about how they're poisoning your children and destroying their minds with fluoride, and that would be the hidden agenda, the talk, and or the syllabus, and the two of them together, the Hidden Agenda special. Understand we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for my ministry, for our provision, and for our protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.
Tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.